So the epistle for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen also by me, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Mark chapter 7. At that time, Jesus, going out of the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hand upon him. And taking him for the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal did they publish it, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well, he hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Please be seated. I will never forsake you, my immaculate heart will be your refuge in the way that will lead you to God. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I mentioned, that Father Brueggemann will say his first Mass on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart. We have it coming up on this Tuesday. And I think for us, we've been preparing so long for this feast day. If you remember, we started the Assumption of 2016, we started the Rosary Crusade for this purpose of preparing for this feast day, to where then we would present, in a sense, to Our Lady all our rosaries, all our sacrifices that we make, and especially trying to work for, you know, the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. So that's where all the pilgrimages that have gone over to Fatima, they're all culminating with this great feast of her Immaculate Heart. Because again, we have to say the apparitions of when Our Lady appeared in Fatima, they centered around the devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And that is why then we see that Our Lady says, I will never forsake you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge. And then ultimately the way that will lead you to God. But I think, as I say, it is something specific that was the mission of Sister Lucia, is why she had to spend so much more time here on earth, even though her two cousins were taken very quickly after the apparitions in Fatima. That for her, she had to stay because she was meant to promote the devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And so that is something that, if you look at the apparitions, if you look at what is contained in them, you see very clearly what Our Lady has asked for. So I'll just read to you a little bit from what Our Lady said. She said, I shall come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays. If my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred, the Holy Father will have much to suffer, and various nations will be annihilated. But in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. So one, we see very clearly what Our Lady was asking for. I mean, she asked for specifically Russia to be consecrated to her Immaculate Heart. Otherwise, we would see the consequences of that. And certainly we know that it has not been done according to what Our Lady has asked. There have been different attempts of consecrating the world to her Immaculate Heart. But specifically what she asked for was Russia, because otherwise it is an instrument that God uses to chastise the world. It would spread its errors throughout the world. And so that's what's important for us to understand in what we're praying for in this Rosary Crusade, the few days that we have left. But it's something that Our Lady asked for in 1917, and now 100 years later, it has still not been heeded. And I think I mentioned to you before in previous sermons and different things of that nature, one of the reasons that Our Lady has said that it has not been heeded is because there's not enough people that are praying and not enough people that are making sacrifices for this. And so, yes, we can point the finger at the Holy Fathers because they did not consecrate Russia to Immaculate Heart as Our Lady asked. But in some ways, also, the blame comes back on us, too. We share a part in that because we have not prayed enough, we have not sacrificed enough for it to happen. And I think that sometimes where we lose sight and when we pray for something and then all of a sudden nothing happens, we give up. Well, maybe we're not praying enough. Maybe we're not sacrificing enough. Maybe we're not doing enough for God to grant this request from us. I mean, certainly we know that if a period of peace will come, it is a good thing that we're asking from God. But God is also asking all of us to make those sacrifices, to make those rosaries, to pray for this intention. And that is what then will, then Our Lady will, her request will be heeded for that. Because very clearly Our Lady says, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, which means it will be done, but it will be very late. And she also mentions through that, that also the Holy Father will have much to suffer. And that's why it's also very important for us to continue to pray for the Holy Father. We must pray, we must sacrifice for him, because he is the one that controls whether the consecration will be done or not. Obviously, it's through the grace of God. But he is the one that must call all the bishops to do the consecration. And so again, some of the burden falls upon us. We know that in the end, Our Lady will triumph. We know that. But we cannot just rest on that laurel of just knowing, okay, well, then Our Lady will work it out in the end. She has specifically asked for us to pray. She has specifically asked for us to sacrifice for this intention. I mean, that's why we devoted our pilgrimage to this intention. That is why it was the focal point for us. I mean, especially for us that did not maybe have the opportunity to go to Fatima, to go over there for the pilgrimage, we made our own pilgrimage. That's why I encourage you to take part in any way that you could. And whether it was simply at home praying and sacrificing at home. But again, I didn't have a chance to thank you myself personally for the pilgrimage. Obviously, we want to thank Mr. Ocaña for organizing it all, Mr. and Mrs. Ocaña for that. But then the many people behind the scenes that helped with it. Again, it was a successful pilgrimage. And was it taxing? Was it hard? Yes. Was it worthwhile? Absolutely. And so it was a means of small thing that we could offer up to God in union with all of the pilgrimages that are going over, for all the events that will take place on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, or as you see, as what Father Stadlin is asking, even today. I mean, if you don't know about the Knights of the Immaculate, if you don't know about all of these things, read up on it. There's a table downstairs that have information specifically on all of this. I mean, take advantage of Sunday to try to sanctify it even more by doing some extra reading then. I mean, join and become a Knight of the Immaculata so you can fight for Our Lady. I mean, that is what we must try to do in this time in promoting, obviously, the consecration of Russia to Her Immaculate Heart. Again, sometimes I think we just kind of sit back and do nothing. And expect God to work all of the miracles, all of the things that happen. Obviously, he's capable of doing that. But he also wants us to do something too. We can't just sit back idle and think, okay, well, it's going to come or it's not going to come. Do something about it. Pray, sacrifice, become a Knight of the Immaculata. Take an active role in fighting for this event. But it's one of the things that I was actually reading in one of the books that is downstairs by Father Stalen on Fatima. He said, the failure to consecrate Russia does not frustrate God's plans. He and only He can overcome evil and draw out a greater good, so that even man's wickedness serves His designs in the end. It's something for us to think about. That again, God knows all things. God knows why it hasn't been done. God knows who's been against it and trying to keep it from being done. God knows all of those things, and so God will draw a greater good out of that. To have then the wickedness of mankind working according to His designs, which means He's utilizing these things as a chastisement for mankind. It's a punishment because of mankind's wickedness. And so therefore, God is utilizing these instruments to punish mankind. But how can we change that? Through our efforts, through our sacrifices, through our prayers. We can change that because then we can have then the consecration of Russia done. And therefore, there will be a period of peace. And so that's something that's very important for us to understand. Yes, very clearly, it doesn't frustrate God's plans because God is the author of everything. God knows when mankind will turn their back on Him. He knows when they will do things against what we want. And so He utilizes that to draw greater good out of it. And so the consecration of Russia will be done. It may be late. Later than we all wanted, later than obviously Our Lady wanted. But it will be done, and her Immaculate Heart will triumph, and there will be a period of peace. Whether we see it or not, God only knows. But that is something that we must try to work on. And so again, Father Stalen says that the final word of Fatima will be the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. Again, that was the purpose of why Sister Lucia had to spend so much time here on earth, was to work out and to get people to understand the importance of the devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And so therefore, we must follow what Our Lady asked for in Fatima. So therefore, Fatima occupies such a place in the very heart of the Church itself, in the center of the world in these latter times, because it is drawn to show to us that the devotion to her Immaculate Heart is a means at this end time. And that's why she says, the weapons I give to you are the rosary. The rosary and devotion to my Immaculate Heart. We have the weapons for the end times. I mean, are we going to utilize them or not? And so again, that comes back to us. Then also what is interesting to see, obviously, there's a parallel that we can easily take from when our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary in the 17th century, and He was telling her, make sure the King of France consecrates the country to my Sacred Heart. If not, bad events will happen. And so obviously we know our history, we know that the King of France did not do it, and then he was later guillotined because of it. That was later on. And then we see when our Lord appeared to her was 1689, 100 years later, 1789, with the start of the French Revolution. The destruction of the Catholic churches, the killing of the priests, the sisters, the desecration of the relics, that all took place because, again, we can say, the King of France did not listen to the Sacred Heart and St. Margaret Mary. And so, as I say, you can draw that parallel, the same idea and the same understanding as when our Lord appeared to Sister Lucia and told her the consecration of Russia must take place. And again, we see those in authority not listening to heaven. And we see the consequences of that, the destruction again. And so that is something that we must try to understand and to focus on. They didn't listen to the Sacred Heart. They're not listening to the Mother of God. I mean, obviously, heaven will chastise the world because of it. That is what we must pray. That is what we must sacrifice about. And we must strive to have this true devotion to her Immaculate Heart. We must pray for that. We have the opportunity now. I mean, in some sense, we must understand, we must pray like we've never prayed before. We look at the world around us and we see the destruction of God's laws, His commandments, the disregard for God. And why? Because of mankind. Because they have turned their back on their Creator. And so therefore, we must promote this devotion to her Immaculate Heart. It has been given to us by heaven as a final remedy. And the rosary is our weapon, very clearly. So again and again, I've told you, if you do not say a family rosary, you've got to start. Because in other ways, you're sailing alone without the grace of God. If your family is too busy for a family rosary, you need to like stop everything and figure it out. I mean, heaven has asked this from us. And so I will leave you with a quote that came from Our Lady at Fatima. It will never be too late to have recourse to my Son and myself. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.